Hey, Northwoods, my name's Hope. I'm the online and social media pastor here, and I am so excited to welcome you to service this Sunday. If you're new here, if it's your first time, maybe second or third, I would really love to connect with you. So you can actually text the word new to that number on your screen, and that's going to put you directly in communication with me, and I can answer any questions that you might have. Now, if you've been around Northwoods for a while, you know that I'm going to ask you to fill out the connection card in the Northwoods app. And not only is that a great tool for you to be able to connect, but you can request prayer. There are check boxes if you're interested in some different things that are happening around the church for you to be able to get some more information and more. So just know that that is an awesome tool for you to get more connected here at the church. And you know, another place to get connected is right here on Sundays. And I want to talk to you a little bit about our online chat and our online prayer. You know, you've probably heard me say that we would love for you to say hi, let us know where you're watching from in the chat. But truthfully, this is a place where you can build community. You know, there are people online every weekend that I'm starting to get to know just by interacting with them in the chat. And we can be praying for each other and building each other up, because that is one of the most important things about the body of Christ, is that we are living in community with one another. So if you're sitting at home this morning or wherever you're at, truly join the chat. If you're watching on Roku or Apple TV, you can pull that up on your phone just by going to northwoods.online. So get to know somebody new this morning. And also, every single week, we have a prayer team standing by for the entire duration of service. So if there's anything that you need prayer for, anything going on in your life, anything that you just need somebody to pour into and encourage you through, or maybe it's something that you just need somebody to celebrate and praise the Lord with, go ahead and click on that request prayer button so that our team can be praying. Well, Easter is next weekend, which is crazy. I can't believe that it's already here. And if you get the emails from Northwoods every week, you got a message from Pastor John sharing about how he would like all of us to be praying about people coming to Easter. Not just to come and fill the seats, but because we want people to experience the hope and healing in Jesus Christ. And Easter is one of those times when it's a lot easier to make an invite. So I know I have been thinking about and praying about who are the people that I've connected with over the last year that I can just send a quick text message to and see if they want to join me here at Northwoods this Easter. So I hope that you will join us. I hope that you'll invite somebody to come with you or come into your home. And just remember that we have a Good Friday service on Friday at 6 p.m. That's going to have communion and a lot of really awesome worship. And then Easter Sunday, we will be back here at 9 and 11 a.m. So I'm so excited for the message that Pastor John has for us this morning. Let's get ready to worship.
Good morning, church. Excited to be here today in the house of the Lord. How many of you know that when we worship, we do battle? Come on, we're gonna sing to the Lord. We know He is bigger than anything we face. Let's sing it.
March into battle, no doubt in my mind that my God is with me and victory is mine. Dance in the shadow of my enemy, 'cause God is my champion and He fights for me. Oh, God.
Oh, 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 oh
prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Come on, let's sing about the power in the mighty name of Jesus.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus, yeah. Every war he wages, he will win. Oh, I'm not backing down from any giants, no. 'Cause I know how this story ends, yeah. I know how this story ends.
Turn it for good, yes, you turn it for good. Hallelujah. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You're turning for good. Come on, yeah. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good.
I'm gonna see your victory.
our victor. Lord, that we can come running to you, Lord, and you will fight the battle for us, that you stand in the gap. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for the power that you give us and that you wrap us in. Holy Spirit, we invite you here today to be with us. Move in our hearts. Open our eyes. Open our hearts to you and draw us to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. As you take your seats, take a moment to greet those around you. This is one of my favorite parts of the service. I love it. Well, welcome to Northwoods. My name is Janine, and we're so glad that you're here today. If you're visiting for the first time, welcome. We are so glad you're spending part of your weekend with us, and we would love to connect with you. A great way to do that is if you will just text the word new to the number right there on your screen, and someone will reach out to you soon. Well, now is the time that I would normally talk about connection card, but we're going to hold on to that for just a second. Now, if you call Northwoods home and you've come today prepared to give cash or a check, you can do that by dropping it in any of our offering boxes that are located around the building. You can also use our website, the mobile app, or you can text the word give again to the number that's right there on your screen. Well, it seems like we just celebrated the birth of Jesus, right? And now it's time to remember his death and to celebrate his resurrection. So join us on Friday at 6 p.m. for our Good Friday communion service, where we're going to remember the commitment that Christ showed on the cross. And then come back and join us on Sunday morning for our Easter service at our normal times, 9 and 11 a.m. We're going to celebrate and we're going to be empowered to open the door to the peace, purpose, and power of Jesus's promise. Be sure that you invite your friends and family to these two powerful services. Well, it's been about 11 years since I had the opportunity to go on the Holy Land tour. And to this day, I still read the Bible totally different. It just comes to life every time I open it, and it's incredible. And we're excited to have our next tour November 6th through the 18th. If it's something you've been thinking about or you've been hoping to do, now is the time to find out more about it. We're going to have an information meeting following this service, so check it out. But also, now I'm going to pull out the connection card. When you go to your connection card to fill it out, to let us know you're here, because we want to connect with you. But more importantly, it's a really great tool for you. When you go in there, you can get more information about the Holy Land Tour by just clicking on the box. So take a minute to fill out your connection card, get more information, share your thoughts, and let us know how we can be praying for you. Well, now as we move back into worship, I want to introduce to you Trey Cooper. Now, Trey has grown up here at Northwoods. I can remember when he started as a middle schooler volunteering in Discoveryland, and then he came back as a worship intern for our middle school. And now for the last several years, he's been serving as one of our multi-site worship pastors. But most recently, he has transitioned here to the Peoria campus. And Trey, we are so proud of you and so excited to have you on our team. So why don't you share a little bit about this next song?
This next song we're going to go into, before we start that, I just want to take a second. I want to point you all to what's become one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. To set the stage, we're in 1 Samuel 17. And as you may or may not know at this point, there's this giant that's nearly 10 feet tall that's been coming to the Israelite camp every morning and every evening and terrorizing them without ceasing for well over a month. And no matter who King Saul would think of, no one would go out and face this giant. Until David came to the king. And what happened here, let's paint the story a little bit more. David, he's not a grown man. He's not the king at this point. He's just David, a shepherd boy who's probably well under 5 foot tall. So naturally, the king's going to be a little bit beside himself and say, well, why should I send you out there? Are you sure that's what you want to do? But that's where the scripture comes in. It says that, but David persisted. And it goes on to say that the same God that saved me from the claw of the lion and of the bear will save me from this Philistine. Now, I know that verse in and of itself probably seems a little obscure, but let me explain. What's happening here is David is choosing to remember. He's welling up faith from the story that God has given him. Now, I've never been a shepherd boy, and I probably never will be. But I can go out on a limb and assume there's probably been good days that he's had as shepherd, and then days that were not so great, which it seemed like he alluded to, perhaps when a lion or a bear decided that that sheep over there would make for a really tasty afternoon snack. That would not be a good day in my book. But you know what's happened through each of those? God has given him a story. And I believe this morning that God has given each of us a story as well, where we can pull up faith, and we can pull up faith from the good days and the bad days, amen? And I think that this morning, God is wanting to remind us what David was able to remember, and that is that God is faithful. So as we sing this song, let's let that happen for ourselves. Let's let our own stories, our good and our bads, remind us that we serve a God who is faithful. Come on, let's sing.
When I need a drink from the well, my heart is crushing overwhelmed. When I look and all I see is chaos around me, I'll remember you. When I fought and seen the victory won, when at last the miracle has come, days are done, I'll sing your praise. In the sowing of the reaping, still the same. You've always been good to me. In every season, you've been so good. And whether there's abundance and success, even in my failure and regret, no matter what each season brings, my soul has an anchor. I'll remember you. Time.
are so grateful for our firm foundation, for who you are, for your word that never fails, your character that never changes. Lord, we rest in who you are, and we ask, would you open our eyes even more to see you today at work? You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, yes, Lord. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing it out. Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker. Promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are.
Thank you, Lord.
I worship you. You are here,
yes, you are
healing every heart. I worship you,
yes,
I worship you.
We prophesy it, Lord.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. Stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop.
Church, we thank you for how you are moving in our midst, how you are working in our lives, for the stories that you're changing even this morning, the faith that you're building, the miracles that you're releasing. We give you and you alone praise and honor in this place today. Lord, we love you and we bless the name of Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, church, you can go ahead and have a seat. You know, one of our core values here at Northwoods is a grander vision, and we've got an update that we'd like to share with you, so turn your attention to the screen.
If you feel this draw to what the School of Ministry is doing and you want to rally around these people and champion them as they go to plant churches because you care about that and they get you excited like it gets me excited, you can use your skills to help them, to support them. It takes many beyond just a lead planter. My name is Jeff Admire, and I've been coming to Northwoods for maybe like 6 years now. I am on the board, school board for Northwoods School of Ministry. Gosh, it's been about a year and a half now, maybe. When they were starting the school originally, thought about maybe attending and just kind of learning more about it. Talked to Craig Smith, Season of Life. That didn't really make a whole lot of sense at the time. I think what's been really fun is to watch NSM grow over the last couple of years with, I know Tanner's gone through his church planting process, and we had like the privilege of being on his kind of planning team as they were scoping out locations and praying into that and trying to identify where to go. To help facilitate a structure that is maturing and growing to further these plans of church planting and just the development of these students into whatever ministry calling they have, it's been impactful. It's been very rewarding. Just because you may not go all in from a vocational perspective to go plant a church doesn't mean you can't support that process. Like, financially is obviously always a big way. That's great. But your time matters and your skill sets matter. I did not go get a master's in theology. I don't have that background, right? But I do have skill sets that I can provide and help from my business life in ministry. So I feel like God keeps highlighting those, and I just keep saying yes to those. I love the idea of people that have this passion that want to go all in for the Lord and go plant churches and just go do it, that they're providing a structure and a training ground for that. So I love the purpose and the mission, even though it's not for me at this time to go do the planting, right? And I feel like we box in this concept of ministry, like that it looks like this, or it looks like Northwoods, and this is a beautiful ministry, I love it. But man, it looks like being in a software company or working at Caterpillar or grocery store, it doesn't really matter. I think the biggest thing is like, that passion, whatever like fires you up, whenever you like think about that relationship with the Lord, like lean into that where you're at. So get out of the idea that it's a building or a structure, because it isn't. It's so much more prevalent than that. If you feel that urge, if you feel that passion to go into what we're calling ministry or to be after it, but you don't want to go plant a church or be a pastor, like that's okay. Like lean into the passion. Don't feel like you have to either be a pastor or nothing. That is not the case. There are ways to support and meet people where they need to be met with the skills you have to further that same mission.
Good morning, Northwoods. Good to be together again on this Sunday. Good to see all of you. Yeah. Palm Sunday today, 1 week away from Easter. I'm excited for what's going to be coming up this coming week with our Good Friday service and Easter Sunday. And, you know, one of the things we talked about last Sunday is we talked about what has changed and what hasn't changed. And one of the things we talked about that hasn't changed is our mission and our vision here at Northwood. You just heard from Jeff talk about our vision to the Northwood School of Ministry to plant churches. We want to plant churches around the world, but we also have a vision to plant 20 churches locally by 2030. That's a big vision to see 20 churches planted by 2030. We've seen a few of those happen already, but I want to talk to you a little bit about the Northwood School of Ministry and just piggyback on what Jeff said. And if you've ever felt, again, sometimes we think about the Northwood School of Ministry that it's only for people who want to go plant a church. But if you would just like to be equipped in a greater way in your walk with the Lord, the Northwood School of Ministry is for you as well. Maybe you'd like to come alongside a church planter in the days ahead and help in that way. I want to encourage you to check out the Northwood School of Ministry. And we need people that if you'd like to be a part of that, the fall cohort that's going to be going through that is going to be starting this fall. And if you want to be a part of that, now is the time to be signing up and registering for that. We'll have a booth out in the lobby where you can talk with some of our Northwood School of Ministry students. Also, I want to let you know about something that we're really excited about is through your generosity, we have partnered with and we have given funds to help launch a church out northeast of Denver in Colorado, Reunion Church. And so we are going to be putting together a team from here at Northwoods to go out to Denver this July and help them with some outreach they're doing. They're kind of calling them block parties, things they're doing to reach their community. And so if you would love to be a part of that, who wouldn't like to go to Denver and go, you know, out that area out west in the summer? It's a great time of year to be there. If you'd like to help be a part of a team that's kind of boots on the ground from Northwoods out west this summer, also check in with the booth. We would love to talk to you about what that could look like this summer. So a lot of great things going on with the School of Ministry and our vision to see churches planted locally. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for giving financially towards that. I believe the Lord is doing great things through that, and he's going to continue to do that in the future. So today we continue our series we've titled Advance. And like I said last week, we talked about what has changed, what hasn't changed, our mission, our vision, the presence of God with us, God's word as our guide. And I want to remind you that as we go through a change, we've gone through a big change here, it's transition in leadership, that sometimes strong emotions come with that. And I want to let you know again, it's okay if you are feeling strong emotion during this time. If you feel unsettled, it's okay. It doesn't offend me. I'm not offended by that. It's okay. But like we talked about last week, that in the midst of change and transition, we have to process the change in a healthy way. And so let's continue to allow God to walk us through this and propel us forward in the more he has for us as a church. Now, today I want to look again at God's word. We were talking about the transition between Moses and Joshua last week, and we're going to be there again today. And today we're going to spend some time in Joshua chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, you can go there, Joshua chapter 3. At this point, Joshua has been installed as the new leader, and now Israel sits on the brink of crossing into the promised land. So I want you to look at what it says in Joshua 3 and verse 1. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim, interesting word, and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. So here are the Israelites camping at the edge of the Jordan River, about to cross over into the promised land. And crossing into the promised land not only means crossing into a new land, new territory, But it really signifies crossing into a new season. A season that will include new challenges, new opportunities, new opposition, new victories, new stories of God's faithfulness. That's what happens when you cross into a new season. And it's kind of the same with us, if you think about it. We've crossed into a new season here at Northwoods. And while we're gonna take some time to catch our breath and process the change, I want you to know that advancing into the new season ahead, just like for Israel, there were new challenges, new opportunities, that as we advance into this new season, there's gonna be new challenges that we face as a church. There's gonna be new opportunities. There's gonna be new opposition, but there's gonna be new victories for us here at Northwoods. And so let's talk about some of those new challenges. The challenges facing this church are different than what they were 20 years ago. There were challenges back then, there are challenges today, but some of the challenges we face are different. You know, the culture we are ministering in has shifted. We are now ministering in a culture that is becoming increasingly hostile towards the church. A lot of people would love to see the church just kind of get out of the way. People view the church as holding back the society. Now again, the church has always faced persecution, but for a good portion of time in this country, we've been kind of sheltered from much of that. Let me give you another challenge. How are we gonna reach the next generation? We must always be thinking about how are we gonna continue to reach the next generation? And you understand that some of the methods that were used to reach people 20 years ago are not the same today. And so while the mission is gonna stay the same, there might be some methods in the days ahead that we have to shift if we're gonna reach the next generation. Another challenge, how are we gonna reach the neighborhood God has placed around us? That's a challenge. The Lord, if you think about it, the Lord has brought the nations to our doorstep here at Northwoods. The neighborhoods around our church have completely shifted. The nations have come to our doorstep. And the neighborhoods around this church, yeah, they're full of people who the Lord loved, but let's face it, there are people that are coming out of a completely different cultural background than us. That's gonna be a challenge to navigate. There are gonna be challenges ahead, but those challenges are gonna bring new opportunities. What are some of the opportunities? Well, as the culture gets darker, it's actually better for us because the light shines brighter. It's an opportunity. The nations have come to our doorstep. Many people of Hindu and Muslim faith are living in our midst. Do you think the Lord wants to use this church to introduce those people in our immediate neighborhoods to the forgiveness and freedom that only Christ can offer? Absolutely. In fact, if you look at the established churches in our country, we're an established church. Many of the established churches in our country are either declining in attendance or they are flatlining. But I really believe that in the days ahead, the established churches that grow will be the ones who get deeply involved in their immediate neighborhood, the exact place where God has placed them. And so I believe the Lord's gonna use us to engage our neighborhood. We have an opportunity in our midst. And part of what's next here at Northwoods means thinking about and dreaming about, okay, Lord, how do we engage our neighborhood in new ways? That's an opportunity. It's gonna be new opposition. Now understand, we have an enemy. It's the same enemy, he hasn't changed. The Bible is clear about that, but the opposition can take different forms. So we've talked about that today. Opposition to the church and the gospel seem to come from all sides. There are many who would love to silence the church, cancel our influence. We're told, you know, stay in your corner, don't step out of it, and don't speak out about anything. Now listen, the people that are spreading that message, they aren't our enemies. We're to pray for them, but it is a reality that there will be opposition. I want you to think about this. Do you think the enemy is going to put up a fight and oppose us reaching people of different faiths? Taking the gospel to Hindus and Muslims, I want you to understand, that's a declaration of war in the spiritual realm. So prayer warriors, you better start rising up. We need prayer like never before. There will be opposition. But listen, without opposition, there can't be victory. And just like a new season meant new victories and stories of God's faithfulness for Israel, I believe it will be the same for us. There are going to be new victories and new stories of God's faithfulness that we experience in the days ahead. That's why a couple weeks ago, when my dad was up here and kind of unveiled new rocks, and we put new rocks down out front, and those rocks that have yet to be engraved, they signify victories that have yet to take place. There are going to be victories that are won in the days ahead. And for those of you who are watching in Chile and Canton, I'm believing there's new victories ahead for your specific campuses as well. See, just like Israel was crossing over into a new season, so we're crossing over into a new season. That will include new challenges, opportunities, new opposition. But let's keep our mind on the fact there's going to be new victories. And there's going to be new stories of God's faithfulness that are written in this church. But, yeah, you can clap for that. That's good. We're excited about victories. But while God will be responsible for the victories, there are some requirements he makes of us. It's kind of like, I've noticed sometimes with God, it's kind of like checkers, right? When you make a move in checkers, right? I make my move, boom. I don't have a whole lot else to do until the next person, the person I'm, you know, playing with, makes their move. And it's kind of like with God. Sometimes he's waiting on us. He's saying, I'm ready to move, but you have to move first. And until you move, I'm not going to move. You have to make your move first. And so sometimes there are things that God requires of us. What are those? Well, let's continue reading. In Joshua 3, verses 2 through 4, it says, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. They said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. So they go through the camp, the officers go through the camp, and they say, when the Ark of the Covenant, and understand we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. When the presence moves out, you are to follow. And understand, they say, the way you're going before, you've never been before. There are no Apple Maps you can follow on your phone. There are no Rand McNally Atlas. Does anybody have a Rand McNally Atlas anymore? You hang on to that? Like, old school, right? There's none of those. It's uncharted territory. But if you follow the presence, you're going to know the way, because the presence will guide you. And so here's one of the requirements to experiencing new victories as a church and in your life. The requirement is this: it's going to require sensitivity to the Spirit of God. It's requirement number one, sensitivity to the Spirit of God. Experiencing new victories will require a renewed sensitivity to the Spirit of God's leading in your life. He's calling us to tune into him like never before. Now, I have a radio down here. Can someone hand that? Here we go. Thanks, brother. I've always appreciated the illustration of a radio when it comes to tuning into God's leading and his voice. Because sometimes we say, well, I just never hear God say anything. Well, you got to tune in. So I want you to think about this radio, okay? This radio is silent right now. Nothing coming out of it. You don't hear anything. Well, I want to ask you, just because this is silent, just because you don't hear anything, does that mean that there's nothing going on over the airwaves right now? Absolutely not. There's always things going on over the airwaves. But if you want to hear it, you got to tune in, right? So think about this radio. If I put this on radio, there we go, a little country, right? You got to tune in. You can move the dial, right? I might have just lost it. There we go. A little bit of country. Okay, but you got to tune in, right? So I want you to think about that. It's the same way with us in our relationship with the Lord. I'm going to use this again in a minute. There is always activity over the airwaves, spiritually speaking. But if you want to hear from the Lord, if you want to sensitize yourself to his leading, you have to tune into him. What does tuning in look like? Well, you know, my daughter was just talking to me in the kitchen the other day, and she said, Ariana, my six-year-old, she said, Dad, I always try, and I never hear God speak to me. Like, what do I need to do different? And I said, well, Ariana, listen, God, he's going to teach you how to hear his voice, but part of the way we hear his voice is by reading his word. His word is, it's God's word to us. So one of the best things you can be doing right now, Ariana, is let's continue to read the word. That's one of the ways that God speaks to us. And you know, several times we've talked about our Bible reading plan that we're doing. I've mentioned this a couple times this year. I want to ask you, how are you doing with that? Are you spending time every morning feeding on the word? If you've fallen off the wagon, don't feel like you have to. Sometimes if you're on a reading plan, what happens is you miss a few days, turns into a week, you say, if I go back and catch all up, I just can't do it. You just give up. Listen, if you've fallen off and you started a reading plan, don't feel like you have to go back and read every day you missed. Just pick up where you left off and say, you know what? I'm going to make a commitment to feeding on the word of God daily. You can follow along with the plan. We have a Bible reading plan at northwoods.church/Bible. But as you begin to feed on the word of God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Spirit of God to quicken a word to your heart. It's almost like I'm asking you to highlight a verse for me, a phrase for me that I need for today, Lord. Quicken a word to my heart. You know, I remember there was a time during COVID, many times during COVID, when I felt completely overwhelmed knowing what to do next. Not only in my personal life, but some of the decisions we're making here at Northwoods. And I remember praying one day, Lord, would you please quicken a word to my heart? I need to hear from you. And that day I was actually in my reading plan, I was reading through Psalm 119. And it's like, as I was reading, it's like the Lord highlighted verse 105, which says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And I still, the Spirit of God, it is in my spirit, said, you don't have to know the answer to everything to move, John. You just make the best move, the best decision with the light I've given you. Okay, I can handle that. That's simple. Let's tune out all of my predictions of what could still happen, and let's just make the next step based on what is the light that God has given us right now. What do we know at this point? And as you make feeding on the Word of God a lifestyle, I'm telling you, and some of you know this, there will be scriptures and phrases that the Lord highlights for you. And that is one of the primary ways the Spirit of God will guide you. But understand, you got to tune in. There's always activity over the airwaves, but you have to tune in. God is calling us to tune in like never before. Feed on the Word of God and invite the Holy Spirit to quicken a word to your heart. You know, one of the other ways that we develop and we live with a renewed sensitivity to the Spirit's leading is through fasting. Now, some of you are like, don't say that word. We only talk about that in January. Like, it's April. Don't you dare say the word fasting. Now, listen, I recognize the benefits and what happens in fasting. I don't always look forward to it either. But I don't know of any better way to tune out the noise and distraction of life and tune into the Spirit of God than by fasting. So I want you to think about the radio again, because a lot of times in life, let me turn this thing on. This is basically what you hear. In life, just the noise of life, it's a lot of static, a lot of noise. And when you're going through life, sometimes it's hard with all the noise, all the distraction, to really tune into God's voice. But when you fast, it's as if you are fine-tuning your spirit to hear from the Lord. It's a way of tuning out all the, tuning in. And tuning out the static, the distraction. It's fine-tuning your spirit to hear and know the voice of the Spirit in your life. And I really feel as I was preparing that God is calling some of you to renew your sensitivity to the Spirit through a lifestyle of fasting, not just in January, but the Lord is calling some of you to make fasting a lifestyle. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say I know exactly what that means for you, but if that resonates in any way in your heart, I want you to get in the presence of the Lord this week, and I want you to ask him, what would that look like for me? Maybe that means a day a month. Maybe that means a day a week. I don't know what it is, but I just really sense that the Lord's calling some of us to a lifestyle of fasting. And I want you to ask the Lord, what would that look like for me? Now, in regards to fasting, this coming Friday, I'm calling on our church. I want to invite you to give up your lunch on Friday and pray that we would see many come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior on this Good Friday and Easter. I'm asking you, will you do that with me? Let's fast and pray for a great harvest of souls this coming week. Jesus said in John 6:44, this verse has always stuck with me, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Meaning we can preach till we're blue in the face, but unless God draws, there will be no response. So prayer is of the utmost importance when it comes to salvation. So I'm calling on this church to fast and pray this Friday over lunch. Now listen, our team is going to send out some prayer prompts over social media to kind of help guide you in your prayer time. Just be looking for those on Friday morning. I want you to know, and there is power when the church is praying and fasting together. And so I'm just asking you, would you consider giving up lunch on Friday and fasting and praying? Because experiencing new victories will require a renewed sensitivity to the Spirit. Let's renew our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Now, let's read on because there's more. Look at what it says next in Joshua 3:5. I love this verse. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. In other words, crossing over and experiencing new victories and God's amazing will not only require a sensitivity to the Spirit of God's leading, but it's going to require consecration. And that's requirement number two, the consecration of your life, the consecration of your life. God's amazing is always preceded by our consecration. He was saying to Israel, if you want to conquer the land, if you want to see amazing, you have to consecrate your life. And in a similar fashion, I believe the Lord is saying to us that a conquering life begins with a consecrated life. You want to be one who conquers. It's going to begin with consecration. We could also say it as a church. A conquering church is made up of a consecrated people. And I really believe that if you look around, that the lives of Christians who lack power, the lives of churches, you no longer see a demonstration of power. It's a reflection of a lack of consecration. Now, consecration is a word that doesn't get used a lot anymore. It's not like we walk around in your everyday conversations and say, consecrate yourself. We don't use the word consecration a whole lot. But it's used a whole lot in the Old Testament. In fact, I was looking up in the Old Testament, and it's used 172 times. The Hebrew word is used 172 times in the Old Testament. And the invitation to be consecrated has great backing in Scripture. And here's what it means, because we don't use this word a lot. Consecration means this. We'll put it on the screen. Consecration is separation from anything that would contaminate or hinder your relationship with God. Consecration is separation from anything that would contaminate or hinder your relationship with God. It's the idea of living a life that is set apart for God's exclusive use. You know, when I was growing up, my grandparents out in Iowa, they had an old farmhouse. We would visit often, and Grandma had the dining room. I remember in the dining room was kind of like, it was the fancy room in the house. Anyone have, like, you grown up, you have a house, it's like, this is the fancy room, like, you know what I'm talking about? And I remember Grandma would have a fit if you wore your shoes in the formal dining room. Like, if she caught you in your shoes, like, get your shoes off, get out there in the mudroom, take your shoes off. This room is set aside for exclusive use. You don't be bringing mud and dirt and dragging all that stuff through this room. This is the dining room. Don't be doing none of that. In essence, we could say her formal dining room was, in a way, it was consecrated. It was set apart, no place for mud or dirt up in there. That's the fancy room. And so I want you to say, God is kind of saying, kind of like the formal dining room, consecrated, meaning your life is to be set aside for a special purpose. Set aside from the mud and dirt that sin brings in our lives. I don't want that in your life. Consecrate yourself. I love what 2 Timothy 2:20 says. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. That common use really refers to, back in Bible times, chamber pots. That would be the pot you'd have in your house. If you gotta go to the bathroom at night, you don't gotta walk all the way outside, there's the pot. And then you go and empty it the next morning, okay? So there's some for common use. Then it says, those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Do you want to live a life that's set apart? Useful to the master? And a life that's ready for every good work? Well, that requires consecration. And remember, consecration is separation from anything that would hinder your relationship with the Lord. Now, on Saturday, just yesterday, I had everything prepared. I try really hard to have everything prepared by Friday. But yesterday, I just kept feeling pretty unsettled about what I had prepared for today. And so I was here yesterday, and I just felt, like I said, I felt unsettled. And so I cut a good portion of what I had prepared. I was like, Lord, it's going to be really short tomorrow. I don't think anybody out there is going to matter if it's too short. But I was like, well, you just asked me to cut a whole bunch. What do you want to say, Lord? I want to make sure that I want to be settled in what I'm saying. And I think I felt unsettled is because a portion of my message that I was going to speak on today was really targeted on what's happening in our culture. You know there's a complete anti-God, anti-biblical agenda that's being pushed. I was so saddened this past, it was about 10 days ago now, on March 31st, when President Biden released a video, I don't know if you saw this, but released a video on Transgender Awareness Day, speaking to parents. There was a portion where he spoke to parents, encouraging parents to basically help their children transition and affirm them if they feel they are trans. And he said, one of the most powerful things you can do is affirm their identity as a transgender, and that's how you keep them safe and healthy. I'm saddened to hear that. I mean, it brings up a righteous anger. I mean, that's the message being pushed from the leadership of our country, that it's healthy to affirm a perversion of God's design, but not only affirm it, but affirm it with the most vulnerable people in our society, children. I know you do, and we so long for a standard of righteousness to be raised in this country. I know we all do, and hear me, we should be speaking up about what's happening in our country. We're not to stay silent, and I believe, and you can trust me, if the Bible intersects with what's going on in our culture, I'm gonna talk about it, and we're gonna call it out. But as I was reading this week, I was reading in an old study Bible I have, and one of the notes in the margin said this. It said, public reform always begins with personal renewal. Public reform always begins with personal renewal. And when I look back at Joshua 3:5, and I read that verse, it's as if the Lord highlighted the word yourselves. It says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I want you to recognize, it doesn't say, start by telling other people to consecrate themselves. It says, consecrate yourself. Start with you. There's a personal focus. Now hear me, I'm not saying that there's never a place for calling the culture around us to a higher standard and calling sin and perversion out when we see it. There is a place for that. But public reform always begins with personal renewal. It always starts with us and our lives. It doesn't start with your neighbor. It doesn't start with the person sitting next to you. It doesn't start with your coworker, with your boss, with your spouse, with your kids. It always starts right here. It starts with each of us. It says it starts with you. It starts with me. This is important because it's so easy in the days that we're living in to point out and call out everything that needs to change in everyone else. You ever been sitting, like maybe you've been sitting here on a Sunday, I've been this way before. You're sitting, you're listening to a preaching of God's word and you say, man, I really know someone who needs to hear what's being said today. I wish they were here because man, this is exactly what they need to hear. And it's kind of like we just bypass, oh, wait a minute, maybe the Lord's saying something to me too. It's so easy to point the finger at everything else that needs to change, everything that needs to change in this state, in this country. But God says, start with the consecration of yourself. Our focus is always on consecrating ourselves today so we don't hinder what God wants to do tomorrow. And recognize what we do today has consequences for tomorrow. Just because God desires to do something does not always mean it's automatically going to happen. God desired to do the amazing, and he did with Israel. But I want to ask you, do you think amazing happens if they say, well, we're not going to really do the whole consecration part. We'll just trust you to do the amazing. I don't think it happens. In fact, there are multiple stories indicating that what God does tomorrow is tied to our actions today. For example, 2 Kings 13, the king of Israel goes to Elisha, who's on his deathbed, and Elisha tells him to take some of the arrows and strike the ground. Some of you remember this story. So the king strikes the ground 3 times and then stops. And Elisha becomes angry and says, you should have struck the ground many times, then you would have defeated your enemies. But now you only defeat them 3 times. The point is, the victory he would experience was tied to the actions today. What we do matters. It mattered for Israel. In fact, they did consecrate themselves and God did do amazing things. I want you to look at what it goes on to say in verse 14 through 16. It says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Scholars say that this river would have been potentially a mile wide at this point. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. That's amazing. God stopped the flow of the Jordan River, which was at flood stage. And then I want you to look at what it says next, because this is really interesting. It says, the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan. Verse 17, stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. You ever decided to like just going out in a river, a pond, a lake, and touch, just go touch the bottom? I'm one of the guys that we used to go do, we like going to lakes for vacation. Say we get out about 15, 20 feet of water. I'm the guy, so I was like, everybody else, see if you want to go down and touch the bottom, because I'm not doing it. I don't know what's down there, like not doing it. But right, you go down there, it's usually pretty muddy, pretty nasty. But God, it says God not only stopped the water, it says they walked across on dry ground. He gave them firm footing to walk across on. God did amazing things, and that was only the beginning. And I wonder what amazing things, what victories God could bring to your life and my life and this church if we were to consecrate ourselves. What kind of amazing and miraculous victories could God do through this church if we were to consecrate ourselves? I believe with all my heart there are amazing things that you can't even imagine that God wants to do in your life. I believe there are amazing things that we can't even imagine that God wants to do in this church. But it starts with consecration. So this morning, I want you to hear the Lord saying to you, not to anybody else, to you, consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. And if that's God's word to you and to me today, the question is, what will it look like to respond to his word to you today? What will it look like to respond to that? Maybe it looks like turning from and repenting of any known sin in our lives. Let me ask you, is there any sin present in your life today that you have just been okay with tolerating? For some of you, God's already been dealing with you about that as we've been talking. Maybe some of us need to ask the Lord this morning, Lord, I'm asking you to reveal if there's anything in my life that is hindering our relationship. And if the Lord reveals it, lay it down this morning. Don't think it doesn't matter what happens here today. As I was praying last night, I sometimes ask God for just, God, is there a picture that you want to give me to share with the people tomorrow? And I felt like the Lord put Jonah on my heart. And I was like, Jonah? And I just got a sense that maybe there's some people here today, some of you are listening, and the Lord's given you an assignment. And you know what it is, but you've been ignoring it, you've been running from it. And the Lord's saying, it's time to stop running. It's time to stop ignoring, and it's time to start doing what I've called you to do. The assignment I've given you, I don't know what that is for you, but I know there are some people here today who are ignoring and running away from what God has called you to do. The assignment God's given you. And so the team is gonna come and sing, and as they sing, I want you to do business with God this morning. I want you to repent of any known sin and recommit and surrender yourself to him. If you want, you do what you want. You can kneel, you can stay in your chair, you can stand and sing, make the song your prayer, but this is a holy moment. This is a moment between you and the Lord. And ask the Holy Spirit, search me, search my heart, see if there is any offensive way in me, Lord. I want to be consecrated. So let's spend some time in the Lord's presence, and then in a moment I'll come and I'll close this in prayer.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold,
not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. Here am I.
Stand. I want you to just, if you're comfortable with it, I want you to just put your hand over your heart this morning as a way of just signifying, Lord, my heart is yours. Here is my heart, Lord. I want my whole life to be used for your glory. Lord, I thank you for your promise that as we consecrate ourselves today, that you will do amazing things. Lord, I pray that as we stay in that posture of saying, Lord, we want to be set apart for your purposes, I thank you that there's going to be victories ahead. I pray victory over the lives of your people, Lord. I pray even now, sins that have entangled for so long in the lives of your people, Lord, I pray that you would break off that sin in the name of Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would release a greater measure of self-control in your people. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I pray you'd release a greater measure of self-control in our lives, Lord. So, Lord, we give you our hearts. And we say, deal with us, Lord. It starts here. Give us a heart that's only for you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we look forward to what you're going to do through our lives and through this church. And we look forward to the day that we will stand in your presence one day. Thank you, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Church, thanks so much. It's always good to be gathered together, and I want to just remind you again, this Friday, push back from the lunch table and just spend some time in prayer for this coming Good Friday and Easter. So thanks so much for being here, church. Have a great week. And if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team will be down front. Northwoods Online. Again, always great to have you tuning in with us. And wherever you might be tuning in from, remember, you can also join us for a time of prayer and fasting this coming Friday over lunch. And let's pray about what God's going to do Good Friday and Easter. And remember, just be thinking about, maybe you can't attend here in person because you live far away, but who can you invite on Good Friday or Easter to join with you to watch online? Thanks so much for tuning in. Praying for you this week. Have a good one.
Well, as usual, that was a great message from Pastor John. You know, it is so exciting to just think and dream about what God is going to do at Northwoods in this new season of leadership. You know, I mentioned this before service and you heard about it in announcements, but Easter is coming. It is next Sunday. And again, I encourage you to be thinking about, praying about this week, just asking God, just simply saying to Him, God, who is it that I could invite to Easter this coming week? Because again, we want to see more people come to know Jesus personally as their Lord and Savior. And it would be awesome to see many people make that decision this coming Easter. I know that's something that I am praying for. So again, I hope that we see you for our Good Friday service this Friday at 6 p.m. And of course, to celebrate Easter Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. Have a great week.